Hey, good morning. My name is Zora. I'm one of the pastors here at Pathway, and I get to bring you God's word this morning. Jesus movement, right? The greatest movement ever in the history of mankind is his church, and that's what we get to talk about today. Jesus' church, us, Pathway, is part of that, right? So why? Like, so the title of today's message is Starving for Community. How many of you are starving for community? Yeah, okay, hey, sweet, some of you are honest. That's awesome. You know, and you're at the right place. So let me start off by saying what the church isn't, what Pathway isn't. Okay, theologian, writer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this in Life Together. Only that fellowship which faces such disillusionment with all its unhappy and ugly aspects, begins to be what it should be in God's sight. So the first thing is that church isn't a happy place. It isn't a perfect place. So, you know, that old saying, if you find the perfect church, you need to leave it because you're going to ruin it, right? Isn't that the truth? You know, so the thing is, the church is going to disappoint you. Like, that is guaranteed. The church will be a place that disappoints you, and it's actually going to hurt you sometimes because the church is a family. Right? Your family ever hurt you? Ever disappoint you? You know, here's the thing. The church isn't an institution, okay? So that's the first thing I want you to make sure that your ecclesiology, your study of your theology of church doesn't tell you that, hey, this is a building, it's an institution. That's not what it is. The church is you, it's I, it's a people group, right? It's us together. So, you know, the church isn't about the platform. It isn't about Pastor Brian's messages, even though I think he's a great communicator. But he'll tell you, look, you can be not here in this building, you can be on the beach somewhere with your little headphones on, and you can click on any communicator in the world. You can listen to about God and any type of topic you want within seconds. That's what he has to compete against. I think Pastor Mike does a good job of competing against that, but he has to compete against that. So it isn't about the communicator. What about the worship? I think Randy and the team is amazing, right? Yeah, yeah. It isn't about giving them praise, dude. I think they're amazing, but the thing is, I have a subscription that tells me I can listen to anybody that's probably better than them, right? I can listen to Manboy, Brandon Lake anytime I want. I can listen to any type of elevation. I can listen to anything. So maybe it's not about the worship either. Wow. So far I'm doing such a great job of selling this church, ain't I? You're like, why am I even here? So is it about programming? We have lots of great programs here. But what if I want to sign up for underwater basket weaving for Jesus at 3 p.m. on Tuesday? We don't offer that. I bet you there's some church that will offer something exactly what you want. That's not us. So, okay, so it's not programming either. Yikes. So you're like, I'm out, right? Like, this is, the church is whatever, the pathway is whatever, so I'm out. So instead of selling you Pathway, and saying, hey, look at all the great things that we're doing here. This is what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to use the Word of God as the benchmark. I'm going to use the Word of God as this, saying, hey, look, compare to Pathway. Are we doing this? Are we living out the Word of God as the early church did? So if you have your Bible, that's something that Pastor Brian's doing now. Hey, we're carrying our Bibles, right? We're going old school. We're not just using our phones and our tablets. So if you have your Bibles, bring it out. We're in Acts chapter 2 today, verses 42 through 47. Let me read it to you if you don't have your Bibles. It's also on the screen. It says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles, through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day, those are being saved. Yeah, dude. If you're not fired up about the church after reading that, I don't know what you... This is what we are striving for. This is what we're trying to live out. This is what I want to be a part of, is an organization, a movement that encompasses all of that. So how? How do we become that? How do we strive to be that more here at Pathway? Well, first, they devoted themselves. Devoted themselves to certain things. But what does the word devoted mean? It means to be earnest, to persevere, to constantly be diligent. So right now, I'm always devoted to God. But right now, my life is specifically devoted to two things. My family, who is right here today, baby. At least my wife and my daughter are here today. Who cares about the boys? They're in California. this church. Those are the two things I'm devoted to right now. So I can tell you, if you look at my schedule, if you look at everything I do, we'll point to those two things. It's either towards loving on my family or it's to loving the Pathway family, right? So Thursday night, I flew out late, got to California Friday morning, did the dad thing, had a father-daughter dance, right? And then yesterday flew back here to do this today with baptisms, and then we fly back out tomorrow. Right, to California. Pretty typical, once a month I'm doing something like this because I'm devoted to my family, okay? But when I'm here, I am completely devoted to the Pathway family. Like, you'll catch me in the morning at something, you'll catch me at night at something, you'll catch me in the day doing whatever with Pathway people. I'm always, because I'm devoted to the Pathway family. So everything I do in my schedule points towards my family or Pathway because I'm devoted. That's being diligent. This is what the early church did. They said, okay, I'm going after it. We're following, we have this newfound faith. So everything we do is going to be devoted to these things. So these four things that they're talking about here, it says, hey, they're devoted to these things, right? They're devoted to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. I got to ask you this, dude. Are we devoted to these things like the early church was? Are we devoted to these things with that type of diligence? Are we going after it like that? Because what happens if we go after it like that? You see people get saved. You see this amazing community where I guarantee you in this community, the early church, nobody was starving for community. They weren't starving for community because guess what? They were in community. And I know that's why you're sitting here today, because you want that community. You want what we just read about. You want that. In our souls, in the deepest, darkest places of our hearts, we are longing for that community that God has set up, his bride, his institution, his family. You wanna be a part of that? This is what you get a chance to. Okay, so hey, first thing they voted themselves to, we're teaching, right? We're better off than they were. Like they are, you know, the apostles were teaching them. We have this today. We have the word of God. We have access, whenever we want, we have apps. That tells us, we have text alerts every day that tells us to read our Bibles. And it even gives us a passage from it. This is what they devoted themselves to, God's teaching. And it says this in Hebrews 4:12, if you have your Bibles, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrows and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, the early church knew for them to survive, for them to understand this whole new faith journey, they had to understand God's teaching. They had to be strengthened through that. And I don't know if we understand that sometimes. I don't know if we get that. For them to be followers of Christ, they knew they had to be educated. They knew they had to submerge themselves in his teachings. Are we as believers, are we pursuing Christ like that? where we are just submersing ourselves in his teaching, that we are dedicated, we are devoting ourselves to his teachings. You know, I want you to know that here at Pathway, we are about that. You know, I know I joke around with Brian, you know, Pastor Brian. It's Dr. Brian Bennett, right? And I say the doctor part because he's a nerd, right? I know he's up here looking cool sometimes, but he's really a scholar. I guess that's a nicer way to say nerd, right? He's a scholar. Pastor Brian, he writes devotions. He writes all these different things for us as a church because he loves and cares about God's word so much. Amen. That we're about God's word. You have opportunities all the time. You have Sunday mornings. You have Wednesday mornings. You have Wednesday nights. And all of our programming, God's word is into that. We have all these different Bible studies, home groups. We have this men's group that I've been going to on Monday nights, right? They're going through the book of Matthew right now, verse by verse. And I love it because there's so many moments where these people that I'm walking with, there's like 10 or 12 of us, they are learning God's word. And it's like brand new to some of these guys that are there. And they are being encouraged. I mean, I can't tell you, they're better husbands, they're better fathers, they're better sons, they're better just friends, they're better members of church, just because they're learning God's word and they're allowing that to shape and form who they are. I guarantee you sit around that table, they all recognize that they need God's word in their lives. And that's what the early church did. They recognized that they needed God's word in their lives. I get it. In our Western world where we're individualistic, I got my quiet time. I get alone with this and the beach and the sun, right? And my AirPods. And I listen to worship music. And by listen, that's great. And I want you to do that. We want you to do that. But there's just something special with sitting around a group of other believers, opening up this book, chopping it up, dissecting it, and talking about it together, where you grow differently. You just grow differently when you do this in community. That's what they understood. That's what the early church understood. They understood that they had to get together to study this book daily. They didn't have this book, but they learned that they knew they had to study God's teaching. And because of that, they're able to continue on in the face of hardship as they face the tremendous persecution that we don't face yet. But they understood God's word. They understood they needed that teaching. So what else did they devote themselves to? They devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. This word koinonia, which means fellowship or sharing. They knew that they had to share life together. They just did. Why? Because as they raised their hand, like a lot of you maybe have raised your hand in here to follow Jesus, they recognized that they were all of a sudden going to be ostracized. They knew that they had no more community. They had their biological family. They're getting kicked out of that. Their community, whatever, their merchants or whatever, all that stuff, that was gone. See, I think here today in our culture, we could dance a little bit. We could tow communities, right? We could be be hardcore believers here on Sunday mornings, but then we could also be part of another community that doesn't believe in Jesus, but we lean into them for support. Here, the early church, they didn't have an option. They didn't have the option. They only had one support group. They only had one place that they belonged to, and that was called the church. And they went all in. They went all in for fellowship. And because of that, all kinds of craziness happened. All kinds of good things happened. And that can happen here. I'm going to share two stories, two very different stories, okay? One of the blessings here is I get to visit groups. So I got invited to this dinner, okay? It was on a Thursday night, and myself and Pastor Brian and Pastor Dan, we just had our core team meetings, and it was a long day, and we were supposed to have dinner that night together, but it didn't work out, so I was able to go to this dinner that I got invited to. So I went. Okay, so I show up. I had no idea what to expect. I walk into this beautiful home, and the host, she goes, "Hey, come out to our patio. So I go out to their patio, their lanai, and their pool with their nice lights. I sit down in these nice comfy patio chairs, and I get this buble water that's kind of nasty, right? It's the bubbly water, the bougie stuff, right? I'm like, ugh, have you heard of sparklets, you know? But so we sit there, I'm drinking water, and then she brings out this appetizer, and I'm like, okay. It's like six different layers of flakiness. Then had like this pesto artichoke thing on top of it on this like nice wood platter. And I'm like, oh, it's game on, baby. I'm glad I'm here. So I'm just grubbing. I'm just eating. And then, you know, we have some small talk because there's like three or four other couples there. And then she goes, oh, now it's time to go into our formal dining room. I'm like, all right, bougie, let's go. So we walk into the formal dining room. We sit down and there's like cloth napkins, right? And there's like mushroom, chicken, and then there's risotto. I was just like, wow, this is really good. So I won the dinner lottery, right? The food was great, but here's the thing. It wasn't about the food. It wasn't about the food. That wasn't my aha moment. That wasn't the whole fellowship thing, the sharing. So all of a sudden, this older couple on my right-hand side, they had been in ministry for like decades and decades and decades. This guy, he has the sweetest, comforting voice. I believe he belongs on the radio, and he just says the word, and I'm just like, oh, I feel it's like just so comforted, right? And he's just sharing about his experience of decades of ministry. And then the hosts, right, they're in this gorgeous home. I was hearing about their faith journey. You know, their before the husband was like a stock guy or something. He made money, but then they felt convicted and called into ministry. So they sold everything. Their nice big home and with a nice swimming pool and all this stuff. And they went into ministry and they were living in their office, their ministry office for a while until God opened up other doors. They're sharing this whole faith journey. I'm like, wow. Hope God doesn't ever call me to do that, you know. But I'm just like, hey, this is really cool. It's just your faith journey. And then I get to this other couple, and they start sharing. And she starts sharing how, you know, she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And if you know anything about that, once you get diagnosed, that's like pretty much a death sentence. And the doctor told her, hey, a year. If you do treatment, 6 months if you don't do anything. So she starts, you know, praying. She gets like hundreds or I think thousands actually on a prayer chain. That was 3 years ago. Yes. Yeah, that God gets glory for that. And I just got a text from her, I think like 2 weeks ago, and she was just telling me that you know, she has to do all these scans like every 3 to 6 months. So completely cancer free. I know. Yes, dude. Yes. They can't find that. And then the other group I was at was this is a whole different group, okay? It was a Thursday night home group. So I go to it. I'm supposed to visit home groups or I get to. So I go visit this group. But before I go, you know, the lady that invited me to come check it out, I go, hey, should I bring anything? You know, I was just being nice, right? And she goes, yeah, if you want to, you can bring dessert. I go, okay, you know, I'm not going to bake anything, right? So I go to Sam's Club and I get like a $10 lemon cake or whatnot. It's in just, you know, a disposable container, okay? So I go, well, what's for dinner? She goes, oh, we just kind of bring stuff together. It's kind of hodgepodge-ish. And I'm like, okay. In my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to be driving through somewhere afterwards because there's not going to be enough food, right? So I get to the home, and sure enough, you know, I look at the table, I get invited in. It's all hodgepodgey, but we start, the tone was set right away. This girl, we sat around the table, and we pray together, and she's praying for different ministries here at Pathway. I'm like, wow. Okay, so what I thought was just going to be whatever type of group, all of a sudden it's super spiritual. She's praying. We sit down together before they open up God's Word, this book that they're doing. We start eating, and guess what? There's plenty of food. Then they start sharing, you know, and it was a very eclectic group, very eclectic group. You know, I had, it's just very, let's just say it was very eclectic. I had like this, yeah, oh, I can't go there. But I'll tell you this. I left that group not knowing what I just experienced. Because it was like, wait, was I at a Bible study? Was I back in college? Was I at a comedy show? Was I at, I had no idea. It was all of those things wrapped up into one night. And, you know, when I left, I'll tell you that I left and the girl's like, oh, don't worry, I'll bring back your dish on Sunday. I looked at her like, wait, that's disposable. It's all good, right? But as I was driving in my car, I was just sitting there. I'm like, seriously, Lord? Wow. That's community. That is absolutely community, because as they were sharing stuff that's been happening in their lives, both places, they're walking in it with others, not alone. And that's what the early church knew. They could not walk in it alone. They had to walk in it with others to survive. The early church knew that they were not going to do this whole Jesus thing without other people. I don't know why we sit here and we think, hey, I could do this whole Jesus thing without others. We got to be interdependent on one another. That's one of the greatest gifts God gives us, is each other. And I'm experiencing that here at Pathway already. And I can't wait for my family to experience it. Because I think I've been here for 4 months. I think, on one hand, I've eaten dinner 5 times, I think, alone in 4 months here. Yeah, I know. That's pretty cool, huh? Huh, Ross? That's pretty cool, huh? Yeah. They devoted themselves to prayer. Tim Keller writes this, helplessness accepted and given to God. That's what he thinks prayer is. Recognizing that we are helpless. See, they knew, the early church knew that they had to pray, that they had to rely and lean on God to survive, or they were not, they didn't know what tomorrow looked like. They didn't know if they were going to survive. For us, we have this comfort. We live on the Treasure Coast, right? We have 2.5 kids and a vacation home and a 401k and da 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 retirement. Not everybody, but some of you. So what do we need God for? Everything's okay, right? Maybe you don't have all that, but your life is pretty comfortable. It's kind of arrogant, honestly, that we're not praying all the time. And that's me too. I'm raising my hand. I'll tell you right now, man, I was telling my wife, I haven't prayed more in my life like I have the last 4 months. It's been the toughest season by far. I pray, and I pray, and then I pray, and then I pray, and then I pray, and I pray, and I pray. Because I cannot rely on anything else but God. I am at a place where I need him. We are all at a place where we need him. It says this in James chapter 4. It says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life is like. This whole passage, our life is like a vapor. Boom, boom, gone. Dude, I can seriously just fall off the stage and die right now, right? Well, maybe not, but I get hurt. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know what your life is. We need to have a dependency on God. They had a dependency on God. And guess what? When they had a dependency on God, he showed up. Imagine that. Imagine that. Imagine if we're dependent on God and he shows up in our lives. He shows up in our family. He shows up in our workplace. He shows up in our relationships. He shows up in our needs or even some of our wants. Imagine that. But they recognized they needed him. Do you recognize you need God? Because that is an amazing place to be when you recognize you need God. And here at Pathway, we recognize we need God. You guys know, you know that at 8:15 on Sunday mornings, there's a prayer team in there that prays for all of our stuff that happens here on Sunday. You know that there's Pastor Brian and others walk through this entire sanctuary Sunday mornings and pray over every chair. So this chair you're sitting in right now most likely was prayed for this morning, that God would move in your heart today. Somebody laid hands on that chair and prayed. Then we have a Thursday night group that prays. You know your staff, our staff, me, we pray at 8:30 every day during the week for y'all and for each other. Did you know that every pastor on our staff has five people, it's called basement prayer, five people that are praying for us and our families every single day. That's their call, is to pray for our family. Five, every day. We take prayer serious here because we recognize that we are nothing without God. Nothing on this stage, none of this matters if it's not bathed in prayer, because we recognize that the battle, guess what, isn't between the stuff on this planet. It isn't through the flesh and blood. It's through the evil spirits. It's a spiritual realm. That's where the battle is won and lost, and it's through prayer. Why do you think as a church family, why do you think we fast together at the beginning of the year, 21 days, prayer and fast? Because that's the way we want to kick off the year and say, God, wow, we are going all in right now, 21 days, prayer and fasting, so we could just seek after you. Why do you think we do that? Because we recognize that the battle belongs to him, and it's only won through him, and it's only won through prayer. Amen. So prayer is important. The early church knew that, because they knew that if they didn't pray, they weren't going to survive. Hey, if you and I don't pray, we ain't going to survive. We may live, but we ain't surviving. We ain't flourishing. God calls us to have a flourishing life. Let's pray together. I mean, not right now, but let's pray together. And it says this. I know, fakey, huh? Like, it was like an audible. All right, hey, let's move. Verse 43 says this, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to the proceeds to all as any had need. All right, don't try to run out now, right? You're like, wait, is he going to really ask me to sell my house right now and throw it in the pot? No, not going to ask you that. But let's look at verse 43. It says this, they were seeking the Lord with their community, and because of that, there was a sense of awe, right? So when I left those two, and I'm not going to just say, dude, it wasn't just those two. You know, I could tell you, I left other homes already while I've been here and had driving in my car just saying, wow, Lord, I had a sense of awe seeing the Spirit just move in that couple's life or in that group's life. Do you guys ever have that sense of awe? Sometimes it's rhetorical, bro. Do you have that sense of awe? Yeah, we have that sense of awe. Right. And then they sold their possessions for one another. Why? This isn't a passage to build a theology on communism, okay? Because later on you see how they each met in their own homes still, right? They all kept their homes, or some of them, at least their second homes. But there was a Jesus generosity. There's a Jesus generosity culture that was built here. And because of that, they knew that they could depend on one another. They knew that, hey, you know what? If I had a need, if my family wasn't going to be fed today, I know I'm going to be taken care of. Like, they just know that. You know, and I love how it makes it clear here that it's not about your wants. Sometimes God meets our wants, but he always meets our needs. Right? Imagine just your biological brother or sister. Imagine they had two or three jobs and they just couldn't make ends meet, and they're living frugal and they're doing everything right, but they just couldn't make it. And you had an extra whatever. What would you do? Would you help them out? Yeah, dude, of course you would. We're family. We're family. And I can tell you right now, I've only been here 4 months, dude. I can tell you how many stories after stories I've already experienced this individually. Collectively, we're doing a great job. Benevolence Fund, wow, nice. You guys have done a really good job providing for that. And I see people that are being, that use it. Our food pantry, Oh my word, I think last year it was 1,500 to 2,000 people that were fed. And dude, it's not like this like cheap food pantry. I looked at the freezer this week, fully stocked, had like T-bone steaks. And I know, yes, I know. Like it's good stuff. The people in our community, some of you are like, hey, I'm going there afterwards. Don't be that person. But we are meeting the needs of this community. And I guarantee you, if I had a need, if I was like, hey, you know what? I guarantee you I could go to you. Right, Ross, brother? I go to you, Ross. I could go to all my friends. I could just go to people. I have a trust already in this community. Don't you want to be a part of a family like that? Where you just trust and where you're not worried about where your next whatever is going to come from? Because you know if you had a need, you could go somebody in your church family and they would help you? This is what was happening here. There was an interdependency. Don't you want to be interdependent on a group? Because that's what we're called to be. The church, we're called to be this together. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts. So what do you think it means? Did it say, when it says daily, what do you think daily means? Do you think it means like every day? Or do you think it means from Sunday to Sunday? Right? They met together from Sunday to Sunday. No, dude, if you just come here on Sundays, I am going to just call you out for a second. That's probably not a good thing. Just throwing that out there. There's too many different ways for you to connect here at Pathway for you just to come on Sundays. I want to invite you to other things. And that's why I'm going to invite my friend up here right now. Jackie, why don't you come on up here? Give it up for Jackie. You can cheer for her. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Zorro.
So tell us, Jackie, why are you up here? Like, what is your passion? Because you're doing something about the whole generous hearts. Why are you up here?
We are starting a new ministry here at Pathway Church. We're going to launch it in the fall, and it's going to be called Open Table. And I am looking right now for 40 hosts that are willing to open their home, and we're going to divide our church up.
Wait, divide? This is the only time division is okay in church.
Yes.
Okay.
So that everybody has a home to go to. That is the goal. Because it's all about coming together around the table and having fellowship with one another. And our goal is that we will do more and more of this, where people will not be afraid to open their home. Like he shared the two stories. You might go someplace.
She might have been one of those homes. Just take a guess which one.
Sometimes when you come to my home, you might get a paper plate and something out of a crock pot. Other times when you come to my home, you're going to have a beautifully set table with cloth napkins, and you're going to have a gourmet meal. And it just depends on what's happening in my life at that time. You're also, right now, if you were to walk in my house today, there's a choo-choo train on my coffee table because my grandson comes and plays every day. So that's real life. And so we really want to get our church more connected with each other and fellowshipping and breaking bread together. And that is a biblical concept. It is throughout the Bible. It talks about hospitality. And one thing I do want to say.
Sure.
Don't ever stop by his office if you don't want a job to do. Because I stopped by his office just to welcome him to Pathway. Just to welcome him to Florida. And he said, oh, tell me what you're passionate about. And that started this whole conversation. So be very careful walking into his office.
Come on my office, please.
But I want to tell you, it can be, when you have people in your home, it's not about what your home looks like. It's about your heart. And it's about just getting together with people, whether it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a gourmet meal. It's whatever you choose, because that's not what it's all about. It's the connection.
So Jackie, this is kind of anti our culture, where like we love our individual homes, where we say, hey, we'll meet you at a restaurant, like maybe once or twice a year. But you're asking us to say, time out. You want us to come into our, each other's homes?
Mm-hmm, because it's biblical.
Biblical.
God's word says it.
God's word says that. I know at our family around the dinner table, there has been some craziness and some good things too.
Yes.
Right? And that's part of the whole.
But that's what it's all about. It's being able to sit around that table and laugh with each other or cry with each other. It's being able to be authentic and just to be together and be family, the family of God.
Yeah, so I mean, this is crazy. A church our size that we're going to launch something like
this. We're going to do it.
Where we have 40 host homes or host dinner places.
Yes.
And this is going to kickstart a, then launching a hospitality ministry where we are together.
So if you are sitting out there and you're like, oh, I would open my home. I'd love to have people over. There's an email up there. Go ahead and send your email and I will be in touch with you. And we're going to get all the hosts together before we launch this ministry.
I'll sign my wife up.
Kim, we got you. You're on the list.
So, yeah. So, hey, thank you so much, Jackie. And before you leave, give us one more nugget. Like, what do you expect? What do you hope your the dream is for our church out of this?
Better together. That's what Pastor Brian has preached on for so long, and us coming together as a church in fellowship and learning to love each other.
Thank you so much, Jackie. So stay tuned. This is something we're going to launch in the fall, and this is for everyone. We want to see everyone. What does that mean by everyone in the church? Everyone. So if you're sitting here today, you're invited, and we want you to participate because we want you to be known, right? We want you to be known to this church and to each other. All right, let me finish this last verse. It says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day, those who are being saved. Look, this community recognized that they needed each other. First of all, they recognized that they needed a Savior. They recognized that they were sinners, that they the way they were going down wasn't the right path. This was going to lead them to destruction. They realized that they needed Jesus to be their Savior. They realized the Messiah had come. And once they recognized that, then they recognized community. And then they lived out this community. And because they lived out this community, people got saved. Oh, wait. Dude, sweet. See this? You know what this light means here if you're new to Pathway? It means that somebody got saved in our church this week. So, yeah, you can praise God for that.